Welcome back to Wyoming Sports Talk today, our LCCC Coaches Show, and we got a chance to talk to Lady Golden Eagles head coach Brian Artmeyer. First, Jason Fickle will join us on the backside of the hour. You know, Coach, with Coach Anderson over there at EWC, and he had the same duties as you to revive a program, and he did that back in 2007. He's done a great job with EWC during his tenure there. You've had this unique opportunity, which was handed to you by then AD Scott Noble, now continued on by AD Clark Rasmussen. But you're in your third season right now, and you and me have talked about it as well as Nick, and it's been a stair step for you in building this program.
Yep.
You know, as you look ahead here, and again, we don't put the horse before the cart, but, you know, a possibility in your third season that we get to host a playoff game, and then we move on to that next round if we can pull out the win. I mean, when you took this gig 3 years ago, think back. I mean, you didn't know. You had to go out and get some kids, recruit. It hadn't been in business for a long time, and you're the guy that's expected to rebuild this program. Feeling pretty good about things right now with the ladies program?
Yeah, I think you know, knowing some of the restrictions we had from a financial aid standpoint for the first couple of years, knowing that, you know, our first recruiting class came together extremely fast, you know, and then again, we make a jump from the South sub-region to the North, which I think this year especially is maybe deeper in terms of teams from 1 through 5, as opposed to, you know, when you look to the South, I would say it's, you know, again, there's only 6, but I think the top 2 or 3 are, you know, they've separated themselves quite a bit. So, I think we've made good progress. Again, it was kind of how I envisioned it somewhat in terms of, you know, I go back to when I interviewed on campus and made the presentation and said that, you know, year one, we want to make sure that we're at least competitive. We want to battle everybody and show teams that we're going to compete. Year two, we wanted to start winning games that people expected us to win. And by year three, you know, we wanted to be somewhere where hopefully year in and year out we contend and put ourselves in that conversation of the top 2 or 3 in each, you know, whichever sub-region we're in. So we're very, I would say we've stayed on track in terms of how that kind of has shaken out. And, you know, we still want to continue to grow it. So, again, hopefully, you know, that expectation gets closer to where, you know, what Jim Gardner's done with women's soccer and what Austin had going with volleyball, where you kind of expect them to finish in the top 1 or 2 every single year. And, you know, it gives us, again, another benchmark to keep reaching for. But, again, that's kind of where I've always envisioned it going. And I think we're just right on the doorstep.
And, again, the season's not over yet. Again, special things could still happen for LCCC, at least fingers crossed for the at least women's basketball program. But for you, Coach, something that you talked about in the first part of the interview, I want to just kind of get at least have a question for you about, again, you talk about these scenarios, again, final regular season game on the road in Riverton to see Central Wyoming. You as a head coach talking with your ladies, are you that type of coach that's going to give them at least those stakes of saying, hey, here's what we're playing for. Mm-hmm. We're playing for X place, or this is the chance to play at home. Or are you just that simplified coach of just let them play basketball. Don't put that weight of on their shoulders and just not have to at least
don't worry about the standings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit of both. I think they do need to know what's at stake this time of the year. You know, it kind of gives them that little extra kick, that a little extra drive, because it is such a grind of a season. So, you know, again, we've talked about it. We haven't tried to put too much emphasis on you have to, you know, you have to do this and you have to win this one. And otherwise it's just, you know, we're on the road, absolutely. You know, we haven't gone to absolutes like that. So we've let them know more or less where we do stand, because it is important. But again, I don't want to put too much pressure on them to say, you know, this is what we have to do on this one. And I think, again, the expectation is go out and win. When we were on the road in Rock Springs, we talked about this more or less being playoff basketball for us, because we've got to try to win out if we can. And, you know, we've got 2 out of the 3 taken care of, and hopefully we can get 3 out of 4.
You know, last night, and again, I don't want to take away from last night's win, because it was a huge win. Mm-hmm. You know right away when you step onto the floor that Gabby's going to have an X on her back. as Carly does.
Yeah.
And they did. And EWC showed a lot of respect for both of them last night.
We're slowly starting to see that X move to Haley Anderson.
Absolutely.
Well, too.
Well, but Haley got a lot of open looks. But really, last night's pat on the backs would go to A, Courtney Walker, and B, Ja'Kia Wells. Ja'Kia did not put the numbers up.
Yeah.
Courtney did last night. She put up the offensive numbers, but combined defensively, I thought they really were strength under the boards last night.
I was going to say, Ja'Kia kind of played where, again, she's undersized in most of these games. She played as if she was 6'1", 6'2", where, again, the key thing that we talked about on the broadcast and something that we noticed a bit was in the defense and offensive rebounds, again, led by Ja'Kia Wells of what she was doing for your team.
Well, Martina Sands last night was kind of – she was still getting her points, but she was not the big equation getter last night. Cutler was spending more time out on the baseline, so they were keeping her outside. So the inside belonged to both Courtney and Ja'Kia.
Yeah, and that was something, again, that we did a much better job against them this time. So we knew if we went to some more zone looks, we were going to be able to pull them away to certain areas on that baseline, which is why we made that change with our 1-3-1. We moved Carly to the middle and we put Kia low because, again, when we went with that look the first time, they went with the same thing. They went with one of the high post and popped her out, and they kept that big low, so we put Kia low so we'd match up the big to the big. So that worked out pretty well for us, and they just, again, they did a really nice job. Courtney a lot of times on the backside rebounding, Kia, you know, in the middle and ball side, and just, again, they did a much better job containing the boards. There's a few more I kind of wish that we would have went up and got, but at the same time, we did enough to be able to come out of there with a win.
You know, a couple of kids that may be back with you next year got some time last night. Alexis Lamoureux, who we've had on here on the program, I don't know how you do it with women as opposed to men. Men, you say go to the weight room and build up.
Yeah.
But I mean, if she could strengthen up a little more in the upper frame, you know, I think she could be a little more of that muscle person for you next season. And then, of course, you got some minutes out of Kenzie last night, Mackenzie Fagenbusch, Cheyenne's product, where she came in and hit a couple of bombs that were huge, especially at the time when she hit them. You know, a couple of kids that you look ahead towards next season, if they can focus their game a little different, I'm sure you got some plans for them.
Yeah, and, you know, that's, I think, the biggest difference when you go from your freshman year to your sophomore year. You realize how much time you should have put in the weight room coming from high school to your preseason, because by the time we jump into practice, you know, we get them for about a month and a couple weeks and where we can do individual workouts and team workouts and get them in the weight room, but that's not enough time. Again, you get against some of these sophomores that consistently have been doing stuff for a good year and a half. And there's a huge difference between that first year and second year. It's no different than when you go from junior high to your freshman year of high school. You know, there's always going to be that next jump. And anytime you go from high school to freshman, and you see that, there's a huge difference between what you see out of a lot of sophomores and freshmen. So I think that's something, again, that they'll take into the offseason, knowing what they have to do, not only on the court, but getting into the weight room.
You know, both you and Coach Ficka, and we appreciate the nice kudos that you've passed along, and again, which I relay back to him because he's the one who put this all together.
Mm-hmm.
But as you, and I know you really can't talk much about recruiting, but let's take a look ahead to the 19-20 season. And you're losing some very talented sophomores, including a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
But as you look ahead, with everything that's been going on with the program, you're 3 years here now, and the success that it's starting to build, are you starting to get more interest? Are you getting calls? Are you and Coach Ronaldo going to various tournaments or games, and people are saying, hey, my daughter would really like to play for you? Are you getting that type of interest?
Yeah, you get kind of a pretty fair balance between the two. You get some that'll, you know, kids will contact you out of the blue, send you an email, give you a phone call, you know, so that's pretty typical. I think specifically when you know there's certain positions that you need, you're really going to put a lot of focus into those, and you're going to go back to some of your old connections. You're going to look at, you know, we're going to be hitting state tournaments hard between Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, Idaho just finished up. So, you know, and Nebraska's actually going, I think, here in a week or two. So, you know, getting out to some of those, seeing some kids, you know, getting kind of a second, third eval on some other players. Again, it's kind of a March is important because you're going to get, you know, you're probably going to look to hopefully roughly signed 2 to 3 in March. And then April's kind of when you start, you know, wrapping up more or less on the women's side. So, and then again, if it doesn't work out in March and April, you're still going to be contacted in the summer. But I would say, again, March and April are going to be big
again,
for
us. There's never an off day for
a Well, and let me ask you this too, Coach. You know, the Division I coaches, mm-hmm. have different markets opened up for you now? I mean, again, we're, you know, like we went to Texas this year, and yeah. we picked up some really good quality kids out of mm-hmm. Texas. Are different areas getting in touch with you saying, hey, you know, this, you know, I'll even go across the pond. Is across the pond even now becoming an interest to LCCC?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I know there's several kids we've been in contact with, you know, whether it's been from Spain or England. And, you know, so we're trying to branch that out some. Obviously, it plays differently into how we scholarship and some of those things with that structure, too. So we have to be a little careful in terms of, you know, how we balance that. And, you know, again, if there's local talent, we'll stay local. You know, we're going to continue to stay within a certain radius and really try to make sure that we're grabbing as many of the best players that we can. But I think, you know, you look at every roster, whether it's any of the South teams or North teams, you're going to probably see somewhere between 1 to 3 international players, sometimes even 6. You may see kids from the East Coast, West Coast. It's just always, you know, you're never going to see traditionally where you see a team that's got everybody from in-state. It's pretty rare. So, you know, again, we're always going to try to find that balance. You know, we've had good luck with Texas, so it's probably somewhere, again, that we'll look back to. And like I said, kind of our neighboring states are going to be important to us. And we've got some good leads, and now we just got to kind of lock it down.
Well, those prospects will have a chance to see the final regular season game coming up here on 1480 KRA. Again, visual only this weekend, this Saturday at 2 o'clock, at least tip-off time there at Riverton between LCCC and Central Wyoming. Again, on the video side, Periscope, which you can find on my Twitter account, Nick Wyo Sports, or on the 1480 KRA YouTube channel, where we ask you to please subscribe for free.
And one final thought from me, Coach. You know, looking at kids that are seniors this year in the high school ranks, and again, you know, don't want to discourage Southeast Central because obviously you didn't get a chance to say, hey, basketball player, you know, I'm going to offer you a 2-year deal, whatever the case may be. But are walk-ons always available to you, and do they need to get a hold of you? How does that work?
I think it's a little tougher on the women's side. You know, I think the comparison that I usually make between the two, on the men's side, there's some kids that they'll do anything to play. I mean, they'll absolutely do anything to play. Where a lot of times what I've noticed is when we try to go more the walk-on route on the women's side, usually it's probably somebody that already has LCCC in mind. So again, it's somebody that wants to continue to try and play basketball and see if they can play at this level. Where, you know, if you actively try to go out and pull in walk-on recruits, a lot of times they may get a $3,000 offer from North Platte, which, again, we had kind of a walk-on situation last year. We were looking to bring in a girl, and North Platte, I think, signed her to, you know, whatever scholarship they can offer. So you run into that a lot where, you know, you may have some lesser schools that offer a little bit, so they win that battle. So a lot of times it's difficult to get those walk-ons unless they kind of already have it planned.
What if they contact you? That's what I'm
driving at. Yeah, we always give them a tryout. We're definitely going to see what they can do and give them an opportunity. And again, whether it's being part of the program as a you know, a walk-on player, or, you know, maybe it's something where you love basketball. Maybe we don't think it's quite a great fit in terms of the court. So we, you know, whether it's a manager or a student assistant coach, there's always a lot of opportunity out there. But anybody that contacts us, we'll definitely give them a tryout and see what they can do.
All right, Coach. Well, we look forward to catching up with you on Saturday afternoon against CWC. Lady Rustlers and the Lady Golden Eagles on the floor at 2 p.m., and we'll have that for you, like Nick mentioned, on the visual side. So, Coach, good luck to you coming up on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
Brian Ortmeier, join us on 1480 KRA. When we come back, we will talk to men's head coach of the Golden Eagles, Jason Ficka, and we're back after these words here on 1480 KRA, brought to you by LCCC.